Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. Hey, if you have your Bible, I invite you to take it and open it or turn it on to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Mark chapter 12 is where we're going to be. Mark 12 is going to be on page 848 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. While you're finding Mark chapter 12, I've got a question that I want you to think about with me this morning as we move into this message. Here's the thing I want you to think about. If you had one last chance to give your child or to give someone close to you some words of advice, I mean to lay out the absolute most important things, what would you say to them? What would you give them? What would you try to communicate to your child or to your loved one? The most important things. I want you to watch for about 3.5 minutes at this little clip on the screen and see from this movie what one dad chose to give to his son in a hospital room. Watch this.
Listen to your mother. You understand? Do what she tells you to do. She's your best friend. You tell her you love her every day.
Okay, Dad.
Now you're too young for girls right now, but there's gonna come a time. When it does, you treat them like princesses. That's what they are. When you say you're gonna do something, easier with money, son. Don't smoke. Be kind to people. If somebody chooses you. You know, we talked about this. You stand up, you be a man. And you stay away from the bad things, son. Please. Don't get caught up in the bad things.
Okay, now he had me at do what your mom says. I'm like, okay, I'm tracking here. And then he says, treat women well. I'm like, okay, I'm receiving this. I'm tracking with you, Denzel. Always tell the truth. Okay. But seriously, make a lot of money, sell out if you have to, things are better with money. I'm going, whoa. I mean, is that really the most important thing? Money? Getting more of it? And then what does more imply? More than somebody else? More than you currently have? More than you could possibly spend for the remainder of your life? I once heard the definition of a successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. And then I heard the definition of a successful woman is one who finds such a man. So I don't know if that's how you would define success, but is more really the most important thing? No, it isn't. I love when kids listen. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for having your kids in church. I mean, what about things like family? What about things like integrity? What about things like character and faith and eternity? Those seem like to be some of the most important things. When you die, what will be the most important things to you? Will it be your net worth or your standing before God? And by the way, every single person one day will stand before God. And when you do, the money and the stuff that you accumulated on earth will be the very last thing on your mind. So with all due respect to Denzel Washington's character that he was playing in that movie, I really beg to differ with part of his answers. Getting more money is not one of the most important things. Loving God is. Loving God is. At least that's what Jesus said when someone asked him what really was the most important thing. Let's read Jesus' answer to this question. It's in Mark chapter 12. It's in verses 28 through 31. And since we're not reading from a Hollywood script this morning, I know we've had you stand before. And if you're able to, I'm reminded of what my pastor used to invite us to do quite regularly in honor of God's Word. We're not reading a Hollywood script. We're reading the words of God. And if you're able to, would you just stand this morning in honor of God's Word? And let's read what Jesus said in his words here. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. It says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." It's the word of the Lord. Thanks. You can be seated right where you're at. Kids and artists, draw me a picture of what you think that scene looked like when this person came up and asked Jesus, what's the most important thing? What's the greatest commandment? What do you think it looked like when Jesus was responding to that young man on that day? Draw me a picture of what you think that scene looks like and put it on the board out in the Home Life Center when we're finished this morning. As some of our artists get going this morning, let me ask you a question. I want you to take an honest look at your life before you answer. I don't want you to answer it out loud, but I do want you to think deeply about this question. What is most important to you? What is most important to you? Is it making money? Or is it loving God? And regardless of how you answer that question, think about which one you want to value more. Because what we do and what we want to do sometimes are not right there. But it's good to have the want to. If you don't have the want to, ask the Lord to give you the want to love Him this morning. Let me ask a question this way. When you're dead and gone, and your kids, your family, your friends, when they talk about you and what really mattered to you, what is it that you want them to say? What is it that you want them to say? Do you want them to say, oh man, I'm so glad that Dad made enough money that he really could go ahead and buy that Ferrari? Or I'm so proud of my mom that every time she went out, she had a Louis Vuitton purse on her arm. Man, that's really awesome when I think about Dad, when I think about Mom. Or would you rather your kids and your family and your friends celebrate your life and the way you loved God? Celebrate the way that you loved. Celebrate the way that you cared. Celebrate the way that you served other people. Now remember, we're in church, okay? So there's no need to lie. Even if we weren't in church, there's no need to lie. Why do I say that? Because God wants you to be the same person inside as He does outside. There's no sacred versus secular. It's just life, and it's all sacred. Because He created it, and He created you in His image. So you're sacred. He breathed sacred breath into you to be the same person on the inside as you are on the outside. So just be honest this morning. What is most important to you? Let's examine that question a little bit deeper this morning, because it's really a great question. What really matters? I mean, that's the question that Jesus was asked in our text this morning in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Which commandment is the most important of all? I mean, think about that. Jesus is being asked of all the things that clamor for our time and our attention, of all the things that we can give our focus to and give ourselves to, what matters the most? I mean, every single day, are our lives not just bombarded with more stuff, dozens of concern, all clamoring for our time, for our attention? I mean, just think about it. What comes to your mind? Job, career, kids, parents, home, friends, church, neighbors, community. How are we supposed to figure out what is the most important? What's the primary thing in our life and those things that are really secondary? Still important, just not the most important. That's what this guy from Mark chapter 12 was asking for all of us. And I'm certainly grateful that Jesus not only heard the question, but He responded to the question. And yet I'm intrigued by His answer. Jesus doesn't even go where many of us may think He needs to go. He goes somewhere else when we're talking about what's primary and what's secondary, what's the most important. I mean, maybe if you were asked that question by this scribe in that day, you'd be thinking about things like career advancement and financial security and physical appearance and health and social status. No. Jesus actually indicates what's most important are relationships. He goes to relationships. Do you notice that? Pursuing relationships, specifically our relationship with God and our relationship with others. If you've ever watched the movie Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, then you know it's a story of an old man and his family. And the old man was rich and he was powerful and everyone just called him Big Daddy. And he had all of the things that money could buy. He had this big southern mansion. He had 28,000 acres of fertile farmland. He had millions of dollars worth of stocks and bonds. He had it all. And he also had an alcoholic son. He had colon cancer. And the certainty of death in the near future. And at the end of the story, the end of the movie, Big Daddy and his son find themselves in the basement of the mansion. And for one brief moment, Big Daddy's masks of power and wealth and success are just stripped away. And suddenly we began to see him for who he really is. And we began to realize he's not wealthy at all. He's got a shallow relationship with his wife. He's estranged from his son. His daughter's only concern is trying to get the lion's share of Big Daddy's estate. He's got no significant relationships. He doesn't even know the names of his workers. He knows no love, no purpose in life, no faith, no meaning. He absolutely is bankrupt with a basement full of expensive European antiques. And as I share that story, some of you are relating, going, wow, I feel kind of like Big Daddy. And if you don't change course, you're going to end up just like Big Daddy. You're going to be rich in stuff and bankrupt when it comes to relationships. Bankrupt when it comes to what is most important in your life. You do realize that the decisions that you make every day reveals what matters most to your life. No matter how you actually answer the question, your life is speaking and answers the question for you. Yeah, the guy in the text, he asks a great question that we read this morning. What is most important? And Jesus gives a great response. He says, love God and love others. So what does that look like? What does it look like when we love God and we love others? I mean, if that's what really matters, if that's what's most important, more than your career, more than your stock options, more than your network, what does it look like to love God? Well, let's go back to the text. Look back in verse 29 at how Jesus answers the question that he's asked from verse 28. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, it says in verse 29, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is what? One. So we're supposed to get our answer from that? Help me, Pastor. What's he talking about here? Well, let's just pause here for a second. Let's pull up a chair around this text. Because Jesus just told us something that is most important. More important than cars, more important than purses and diamond rings, even more important than Mario Odyssey that some of you got this week, my son, and he has been playing it like a beast. It's even more important than that. More important than video games. What's most important, Jesus said, is loving God, cultivating a relationship with God. And we do that when, number one, we recognize who God is. When we recognize who God is, we can begin to love God the way God desires to be loved. What is most important is loving God. And one of the ways, please hear me on this, don't get lost in this. This is really, really important where we live today, in the culture that we live today, in the way that we're washed with news and different perspectives and worldviews today. Hear what Jesus says about loving God well. One of the ways that we love God is by confessing the oneness of God. That means embracing what's called monotheism. Mono, one, theism, God, the belief that there is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is how many? One. One God. Not many gods, not three gods, one God, demonstrating who He is in three expressions: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three expressions, one God. Therefore, we do not demonstrate love for God when we say things like this: oh, all roads lead to the same God. Oh, we all worship the same God. We just use different names. We call Him Jesus. My friends across the street may call Him Buddha. My friends across the street over here may call it yoga. My friends over here may call it Allah. My friends over here may call Him whatever. No, no, no. That's not what Jesus said. That doesn't mean we need to be mean or hateful or spiteful to our neighbors. We just need to realize we're talking about two different things here. And we're trying to understand what Jesus says is most important. And we do not all worship the same God just by different names. It does matter what we believe. In matter of fact, it's a lie to say it doesn't matter what we believe as long as we're just sincere. That's a lie. That is a lie. And that doesn't please the one true God at all. Loving God means you recognize who He is and you call Him by His name. And there is one name that is above all names, the name before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And His name is Jesus. And loving God means calling God, the one true God, by name, Jesus. So what matters more than your 401k and the cars that you have and the granite countertops that you're trying to upgrade to? It's loving God and cultivating a relationship with God. And we do that by, number one, recognizing who God is, and number two, by loving God with your entire being. Loving God with your entire being. Jesus goes on to talk about that. The most important way that we love God, right there in verse 30, Jesus says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Jesus is describing right there who we are as His creations. He tells us to love God with all of our heart. That's referring to our will, excuse me, to our emotions. To love God with all our heart is talking about loving God with all of our desires, where it is that we choose to cast our affections. That's why Dan led us in the worship song that he did, because it's talking about pouring out our heart and our devotion and our affections on the one true God whose name is what? Jesus. Yes, thank you. You're listening. And Jesus goes on to say, man, it's important to love God with all of our soul. Our soul is who we are on the inside. Who we are on the inside. Jesus says it's so important to love God with all of your mind. That means it's important to God what we think about. As you're scrolling today, it's important to God what you think about. Our thought life matters to God, and it affects how we will love God. That's why purity is such a big deal to God, because He wants you to love Him like He designed you to love Him. And Jesus says it's so important to love God with all of our strength. This refers to what we do with our bodies, with our actions, with our deeds. You want to know what's most important? It's loving God. And loving God means that in all our emotions and our thoughts and our actions and our relationships, God is central. That's what it means to love God. And God doesn't feel particularly loved just because you came to church today, although that's a great thing. But he doesn't really feel all jazzed up about that if you're not going to leave from this place in a few minutes and just keep his word closed all week, or that app turned off all week. He wants you to love him through his word so you can begin to know who he is. If the only time you pray is when you're in this place, we're missing out on loving God the way he created you and desires for you to love him, because he longs to talk with you as you walk with him everywhere you go this week, and to give guidance to you through the Holy Spirit, through his word, through other Christians who speak truth and life into your life. And if we receive that but don't do anything with it, are we really loving God? No, I think we're loving ourselves. I think we're loving ourselves. God feels love when we get to know him, when we walk with him. And that's what really matters, men and women, no matter how much money you do or don't have. So what are the most important things? Number one is loving God. Number two, loving others. Jesus goes on to talk about loving others in verse 31. Look at it with me in the text. Jesus is on a roll here, and so he talks about loving God, and then he just keeps going. And in verse 31, he says, and the second thing is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the guy in the text, he's just asking for the most important thing. Jesus gives him a daily double. He just goes ahead and gives him a twofer on this day. Man, let me just tell you what's most important. Obviously, Jesus is not just being long-winded. Jesus sees these two as being linked together. One link, Naaman Forest football team, one link, okay? These are linked together. One link, one link, one link. Loving God, loving others. So you can't really separate these two. You can't obey one and out the other. They're linked. They're two sides of the same coin. Love for others grows out of our love for God. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what we see in another part of the Bible. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. They're linked. One link. And when Jesus tells us to love our neighbor, he uses a word for neighbor that literally means one nearby. One nearby. Jesus made it clear in his parable on the Good Samaritan that neighbor means anyone with whom we have any dealings whatsoever. So if you're crossing paths with someone, guess who that person is? Your neighbor. And God says, if you want to know what's most important, love that person. Bless that person. Reach out to that person. Care about that person. What is most important is not how much money that we amass, how much we leave for our kids when we die. What really is most important is that we love God like crazy, and that we love the people around us like crazy, just as we love ourselves. Loving your neighbor quite simply means responding to your neighbor's needs the same way that you respond to your own. Taking the time, going the extra mile, doing whatever is necessary, extending effort and expense and the sacrifice to do something to help out somebody else who's around you. That's part of what it means to love your neighbor. Plain and simple. And isn't that the way that Jesus loved us? He came from heaven to earth, perfect, no sin, to respond to our need to be freed and to be rescued from sin, death, Satan, and hell by coming and dying on a Roman cross. The most neighborly thing ever done. because it's the most loving thing ever done. That is love. That's not just some feeling for us. That's a sacrifice that Jesus Christ made in order to address our greatest need, forgiveness of our sin, payment for our sin that separates us from holy God. And if you end your life separated from holy God, never receiving the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of Jesus, the scripture says you will spend eternity apart from Him. All roads don't lead to God. All roads don't lead to heaven. One road leads. Jesus said, I am the road. I am the way. And if you do not respond to that kind of love, the scripture says you'll spend eternity apart from Him in hell. I'm always going to tell you the truth. You're welcome. So what are the most important things? Living for God and not for ourselves. Living for eternity and not just entertaining ourselves. Let me close this morning by telling you a story. It's a story of a young couple who eventually came to that very conclusion. True story. Because they eventually got what was most important. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of life before you get to the realization that, wow, somebody else knew what they were talking about. I tried it my way and, yeah. I mean, I talked to a guy this week who came to that conclusion. Amazing story. Asked me to baptize him. Like that day, I said, I'm glad to baptize you. Let's keep talking a little bit. It may be something that your wife and your kids want to be a part of. And so hopefully we're going to carry on this conversation. But as I think about this story, I think about that conversation that I had Thursday afternoon. Right in the middle of my study, and George barges in and said, I think you might want to talk to this guy, which means I've got a whole lot going on in my office right now, and you're just sitting there reading a commentary. Could you go take this one? Sure, just trying to hear from the Lord. Let me stop what I'm doing. And I'm so glad that I did. So glad that I did, because this person just starts talking to me, makes me think about this story here, this couple that got it. It's a story of a guy and a girl named Steve and Lisa. They fell in love while they were getting their MBAs. They were young, they were sharp, they were highly motivated, they shared a common goal, and it was to make a lot of money and to live the American dream. They soon got married, they accepted business positions in huge firms, and then about 10 years into their marriage, 10 years passes, they found themselves with massive incomes. They're both working about 60 to 80 hours a week, and the money that was flowing in was great, and they loved spending it, and they did. They had a huge house, they had four cars, they had a cabin in the mountains, they even had a boat, they had everything that money could buy. And so now they're pushing 40, and they have a son. They have a son, and since both of them worked such enormous hours, their son stayed in daycare almost all day long, and then many of the nights a nanny would take care of their son, Nathan, in the evening hours. And they really began to see, gosh, we're having so few hours or minutes of contact with our son. But thankfully, before their son was 1 year old, Steve and Lisa hit a crisis point. And they stopped and they asked themselves this question: is this all that there is to life? What they were asking is, what really matters? What's most important? And so they finally came to the conclusion that just being uber successful in business and making a lot of money and buying a lot of stuff, it wasn't big enough. It wasn't a big enough life to live in. They wanted more than that. And so on that very same day, I kid you not, that very same day, they both resigned from their jobs. Steve took a 40-hour-a-week job managing a small business that paid less than half of his corporate salary. Lisa took a part-time job as a business consultant working 2 days a week, making 20% of what she walked away from. Okay? They sold their huge house. They purchased a simple home, middle-class neighborhood home. They sold their cabin. They sold their boat. They had four cars. They sold two. But Steve and Lisa quickly realized that less began to equal more. They now had time for their son, Nathan. And these things called friends. They got involved in their community, and they started going back to church. They earned less, but they were far richer. And they didn't realize how much richer they were until their son, Nathan, turned 7 years old. So this is on down the line. They've been living this for a while now. At seven, the teacher had given him a little assignment to write a little brief essay and draw a picture depicting his version of the perfect life. And when he had completed his assignment, and when mom and dad looked over it, the tears of joy began to flow down their cheeks. Nathan had drawn a little picture of his modest house, complete with mom and dad and the dog, and under the drawing of the house, he wrote, "My home." And beside the house, he had drawn some stick figures, and beside the stick figures, he wrote, "My friends." And next to that, he had drawn another little building, and it had a little steeple, and out beside it, he wrote, "My church." And then here's what he wrote at the bottom of his assignment, his picture. "A perfect life for me is the life I'm in right now. I have a lot of friends and a good family too, and a good church. I do not need a perfect life. I already have a perfect life." 7-year-old Nathan. Yeah. And this morning, as we wrap up, we have a very clear choice. We can either choose to pursue what is most important, and that is loving God and loving others, or we can keep pushing for and pursuing what is secondary and what doesn't matter. And we'll end up just like Big Daddy did, having a lot of stuff, but bankrupt in what really, really matters. May we all make the same choice that Steve and Lisa made, and not that choice that Big Daddy made. What would it look like if we all decided to pursue what's most important, what really, really mattered? Relationship with God, relationship with others. I mean, tomorrow, if you go into the office, it might look a little less bottom line and a little more tuned in to who's around you. Tuned in to the person in the cubicle next to you or in the office down the hall, their needs, their hurts, their fears. And maybe you would then begin to find yourself responding in some way. When you go home, maybe it'd be a little less my time and a lot more our time. Time to connect, time to talk, time to listen, time to laugh, time to share. You'd actually be living out what loving God and loving others looks like. You'd be living a life in ways that are most important. And I invite you to join me over the next 2 weeks, Lord willing, as we look deeper into what Jesus said are some of the other most important things in life.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapaho Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapaho Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.